looking handsome as ever.
Thank you. Vegas draft day.
Doesn't get much better than this. The playmaker, Michael Irvin, looking like my security today.
Well, I appreciate
it. It is so good to have you back.
It's so good to be back, man. I really do miss you guys. And I really do mean what I said. I started feeling like Tom Brady a little bit. Home too long and wanted to get back to work, man. Every day I'm watching you guys and just thinking, man, I would like to be beating up on Stephen A right now. So I get to do a little bit of that.
But you couldn't. And the reason why you couldn't is because you had to go home because you're a cowboy. And when stuff matters, y'all are usually home.
And that's all that happened. It coincided with what traditionally
we're on a new goes day. On with the Cowboys.
We're on to a new day, a new season, and it starts right here.
This is the draft.
This is the greatest day.
Time out. Okay, go ahead, Ma. Let me just say, it's not just Stephen A. And it's not just the playmaker. We got a couple first-round picks stopping by big-time guys, plus Kirby Smart and Stephen A., Nick Saban. Can a girl get a Roll Tide? He will be live.
Roll Tide.
Oh, that was so weak. It's because I asked you. It was the weakest ever.
I'm just trying to be cool and mellow. That's okay.
America's team. Let's go there. Stephen A.'s team.
Let's do this.
The team that Michael Irvin won three rings with the Dallas Cowboys. They're picking 24th overall. Time literally ran out on their season. Get what I'm saying, Michael? Dallas lost in the wild card. No Amari Cooper is a huge hit for Dak Prescott. Jerry Jones brought us behind the curtain earlier this week on who makes the draft decision in Big D. Listen up, y'all.
Our process is an inclusive one. We've said it. There's a lot of talk in this business about who makes the call, who actually makes the call, okay? Taco was Stephen's call. Parson is my call.
That's not that funny to me. Not.
Pure shade, and it's absolutely hilarious.
Crazy, that is funny.
Is Taco salty that after funny. That, just a little bit.
Then Taco clap back at that, right? Oh, like, yeah. Hey, you know, count my dollars, making them holler.
It is what it is. All right, Irv, what should your Dallas Cowboys do at number 24? What would you like to see them do?
Listen, and in talking with the guys over at with the Dallas Cowboys, let me tell you what's most important here, and that's why I can't take this gibberish that Stephen A. is trying to dribble out towards me about last year or any of that, because today, we are in Las Vegas because this is a huge day. Dreams are about to be realized and come true. And just like last year, remember when that beautiful star landed right upon Michael Parsons and we got an impact player? That's what the Dallas Cowboys need to get right now with that 24th pick. We've lost impact players, Amari Cooper. You've lost an impact player in Randy Gregory. You have to replace him with an impact player. And I say it this way, because I don't want anybody, I don't want you to get stuck on the position. You need, last year, you wanted to get a cornerback. You wanted Surtain or J.C. Horn. You got, but you didn't get stuck on the position when the impact player became available right there at 12, Michael Parsons, you took him. Dallas Cowboys have to do that this year. Now, do they aim for that offensive line first? Yes, that's what they must do. They want to aim for that offensive line. But if the heavens open up and some beautiful stars fall, and it's something like Jameson Williams falling at 24, I don't care with a bad leg right now, I'm taking him right now, because that's what I call impact. To have this kind of speed put on that kind of team. I love Michael Dallas. He just bought a house across the street from me. He's my new neighbor. We'll be talking schemes and games all the time because he wants this kind of knowledge all the time. That's what he wants. We bought a house right across the street from him. So I love him. We're going to have him, and he'll be back. But if we can get that young man right there, that man's instant offense and instant impact. He's the closest thing, I think, to Tyreek Hill in this draft.
We'll be asking Nick Saban about him in just a bit.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
First of all,
there's a couple of things that's very, very hilarious. So let's go backwards to forwards. Okay, first of all, Michael Gallup buying the house near you. Why would you do that? Why would he do that? You
know, Keep it in the family.
He set himself up to fail. I'm telling you that right now.
He set himself up to succeed.
Here's the reason why.
Succeed.
Because Michael Irvin is a three-time Super Bowl champion. champion. Ain't a Dallas Cowboy in the last 27 years even been to the conference finals, let alone Super Bowl, let alone won a Super Bowl. So setting yourself up, all right, by moving next to Otto, you know what that is? That's about his hoping. You know, Michael Irvin got that relationship with Jerry Jones. Let me stick
around.
Hold on.
Let me ingratiate
myself
with Michael Irvin. I want to be in the nice neighborhood.
Isn't that what I'm saying? This is what Dallas Cowboys do. So what he's done is he's ingratiated himself. He's trying to ingratiate himself with Michael Irvin. So Michael Irvin is sitting up there putting in a good word for with Jerry Jones, and he don't get shipped somewhere else like Amari Cooper. That's what this is about. Okay, ain't going to work because Jerry Jones is smarter than that. All right, so it ain't going to work. All right, that's number one.
Right.
Number two. I love how you talk about the draft. It's a new day. It's always a new
right
day.
Here.
It's always a new day. 27 years of counting. It's always a new day. It's always a new day.
But it really is a new day. You're about to bring new talent on a football team.
Hold on. All I got to remind everybody is this. The same Michael Irvin was the dude that was Michael Parsons gets drafted. He hugged him. Oh, this is this is the beginning. This is what we going to do. What happened? Hold on. Tell me. What happened? Michael Parsons' butt balls.
Right.
And they still went home. See what I'm trying to tell you this? I don't sit up there and tell you they can't play. I say, what can go wrong will go wrong. Did Michael Parsons show up at a hockey event the other day?
Did you see when he
dropped the puck in the wrong fashion? He can't even drop the puck right.
He was also at that Earl Spence fight with me, holding the champion's hand when Earl Spence broke a man in that fight.
Time out. But that's another element I was going to bring up, because you wore a belt. Errol Spence wore a belt.
Right.
Michael Parsons put on the belt, like, you know.
That's right.
I saw two champions. But I saw three belts. You see what I'm saying?
Ooh.
It's okay, though.
Well,
I love this part. All I'm trying to say is this. These are the kind of things.
I love this part.
That set the Dallas Cowboys up the field. Now, Dak Prescott threw. Y'all had the number two pass in the
Texans. Oh, there it is, Michael.
Listen, that's right.
Look at that right there.
Well, I'm going to tell you something.
Hold on. You interrupted me, man.
You're doing yourself a disservice right now.
Listen, here's my issue that makes me laugh. Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys had the second-ranked passing attack last year.
Right.
You got a situation where you need an offensive line because your offensive line is aging, and you need to protect them, which is why they're talking about drafting this kid Tyler Smith out of Tulsa. Projected, that's what might happen, but we don't know. But like you brought up, this kid Jameson Williams out of Alabama, we understand how special the brother is. But my response to that is this. Once again, you're going against the need to protect your quarterback. So you can have all the speed in the world, but if you can't protect the quarterback, he ain't going to be able to get loose enough to feed those receivers.
Ezekiel Elliott rushed for
237 times last year for 1,000 yards. All right, average 4.2 yards a carry. But your running game clearly wasn't what it used to be as well. So you go ahead and get the sizzle. You get the splash.
I clearly stated what I stated with this position.
With this spot that we're going after an impact player. An impact player. Now, all linemen are impact players. Do they need linemen? Yes, they do. Do they need good offensive linemen? Yes, they do. But if they're not an impact offensive lineman, right now you can either come in. By that, I mean you got to come in and start right away, or you better be the best swing.
Well, you got to protect the quarterback. You got to protect your
lineman.
Let me ask you this question.
But the impact part is what the Dallas Cowboys need. And that's why I said if you can get James Wood.
Impact. Yes. Ain't the quarterback that got $75 million last year supposed to be providing the impact? Did you say that? Okay, I'm with you. What do you mean he is? I am with you on this. Come on.
Come
on. When the season ended, you said he needed to do better. We ain't start the new season yet, so what you mean he is as a president?
That is not true.
That's factually incorrect.
In that final game, I sat right here. I said that the stars did not show up in that game.
That's right.
And they did not show up in that game.
So what you mean is?
So I'm expecting them to show up.
Oh, you expect
this season.
You expect it.
Come on, man. Everybody out here is expecting their players to get better.
Don't you mean hope?
Don't you mean hope? That got better last year. That's all I'm asking.
Don't you mean hope? Because you can't expect a damn thing from your Cowboys.
Let me say this. Are you serious? Coming off the injury that Dak came off of and the way he started that year,
my Lord.
It was an incredible start to a season. An incredible start.
And I told you.
And then, And what then the injuries start coming in. Oh, let's break this down. Remember, the Cowboys were 5-1 coming off that New England game when Dak got hurt.
Okay.
And then they went into the bye, came out.
They were
Cooper
actually 6-1. They were actually 6-1.
Okay, and then
they
Cooper beat Minnesota. Cooper Rush beat Minnesota.
That's right.
Dak sat out that game.
Right. Okay.
And then since Dak got
Cousins.
Back.
He beat Kirk Cousins.
Okay, and since Dak got back, that's where to turn.
Okay.
Before that, Dak was 73% passive completion. After that, he dropped to 66%. And that affected everything. I'm telling you right now, Dak now has an offseason where all he's doing is getting better.
Okay.
He's not focused on one area of rehab. He's focused on the whole 360 pie of his football game. And he'll get better in those areas that he fell off on last year.
So let's analyze this. The Dallas Cowboys lost to the Denver Broncos.
Right. And wait. When Dak got hurt, then there was a series of injuries after that, we never had the continuity again.
Allow me to explain.
Okay, well,
They lost to the Denver Broncos, and they got shellacked that game. The 30-16 final score was not indicative of the beatdown that happened in Dallas. Okay? So they lost that one, right? Then they lost back-to-back games to the Chiefs and in overtime to the Raiders. Of course, down the line, they lost to the Arizona Cardinals. Every credible team the Dallas Cowboys went against, they fell.
Every game after that, remember now, Dak got hurt, Dak came back. Then Amari Cooper was gone. Then C.D. Lamb was gone. Then Zach Martin got hurt. And then Tyron Smith. We kept missing people. Okay. They couldn't get it all together.
This is football. I'm talking to a three-time Super Bowl champion that has experienced a multitude of injuries happening around him. And this is the same man that has been an extraordinary NFL analyst for many years now who religiously says it comes with the game.
Right.
You got to have it. Next man up. You got to find a way to get it done.
Right.
And y'all did it. And even you said the stars didn't show up, number one. Number two, you pointed out how we got to embrace the moment. These guys, they got to embrace the moment. They don't do that, right? But you going to sit here after saying all of that and say, it's a new
because,
day. What?
Because,
new day.
Let me tell you what new day. And let me tell you why I'm so happy today. Because this time last year, we got a Michael Parsons. And I remember when I called the defense before we got a Michael Parsons. It was an Oprah Winfrey defense. It gave 40 points to everybody that showed up. You get 40. And Michael Parsons made a difference. He came in and made a difference. I'm expecting that impact player to do the same thing, and you get one more dog in the locker room. When I talk to him, I tell him, don't just get me an athlete, get me a dog. I mean somebody that wants to play. I don't care where they play, like Michael Parsons, and you get one more of those dogs in the locker room, and the Cowboys will be where they need to be.
Hold on, real quick, though, I have a question for you. Because this is such a talented receiver class, obviously we know Amari Cooper is gone. We know Michael Gallup's hurt. So I get you wanting to go receiver, but don't you think you could wait? Get a good receiver.
Again,
24th pick.
Here again.
Focus on another need.
Here again, the key word, I'm going to drop it again now because I know I'm saying impact player. You can't wait. You got to get an impact player early if he's going to be an impact player.
Okay.
We need him to make a
difference.
Because
you have two picks in the second round, and you got three in the third.
And
so I'm just saying with all these receivers.
And we'll get support in those rounds.
You know how
you need impact
with that. You want me to tell you, can I ask you a question, Molly?
Yeah.
Maybe somewhat rhetorical. Everybody's got a draft tonight.
Yeah, everybody does.
Anybody else have a press conference other than the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, some people have been talking.
I didn't say that.
Why your chest so higher than mine? Why you make me so
because I got longer legs and a shorter torso, damn it. Here's the deal. Let me ask you this question, Molly. Did you see a press conference from any other team?
No, but I'm not mad about that because that press conference was hilarious.
It was hilarious. I don't mind, but I'm just saying. This bloated view of themselves. It's a bloated view.
Bloated.
I mean, it's just
I haven't heard
about
to use that.
That
word.
I mean, the fact, I love Jerry and Stephen Jones. We're going to have a trip together soon.
Hey,
but
man.
The bottom line is once again, engaging in that level of hyperbole.
Let's move on. You are America's
team. Okay. You have to feed America information about what's going on with the organization.
Can we move on?
Right.
We're hoping it's not taco. We're hoping it's Parsons.
I can already tell we'll be laughing.
Now to the team Dallas lost to. That would be the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, my God.
And it is no secret. Deebo Samuel wants out, but the grass isn't always greener on the other side. The AFC West has now leapfrogged the NFC West as the most competitive division in football. In the last 3 years, the Niners went to the Super Bowl in 2019 and the conference championship last season, knocking off Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in the divisional round before losing to the eventual Super Bowl champion. Here's GM John Lynch.
I can't ever imagine, you know, wanting to move on from Deebo. You put yourself through the exercises of, you know, you, even though we don't have a first-round pick, you have to be thorough in this process and prepare for everything. And so you go through and do that. He's just too good of a player.
Meanwhile, marinate on this. Deebo tweeting this out yesterday, apparently not liking all the talk. You can see that right there. Stephen A. Would it be a mistake for Deebo to leave San Francisco?
No, it wouldn't. I support whatever Deebo Samuels wants to do. I sincerely mean that. And I get where his tweet is coming from. And, you know, I don't think he was talking about me, but I think it applies to me. I don't cover the San Francisco 49ers. I don't have any idea what's going on with them. Here's all I know. I know that I respect the hell out of Kyle Shanahan, who's a great, great coach. I know I respect the hell out of John Lynch and the job that he has done. It should be commended and applauded what job this man has done. He's got the San Francisco 49ers competitive. He's worked well in concert with Kyle Shanahan. They've got a brain trust in San Francisco that I think they should rely upon for years to come. Profound respect for what they're doing. They're not at fault for any of this stuff. But neither is Deebo Samuels for wanting to leave. I completely support my brother here. And here's the reason why. This dude is an all-purpose offensive player for the San Francisco 49ers. He is not just a receiver. He's a multifaceted receiver. He can play the slot in the slot. He can play outside the numbers if you ask him to. Hell, he could play the tight end spot if you really, really needed him to. He's strong enough. He's big enough. He's versatile enough. He's gifted enough. He's fast enough. He's got reliable hands. His route running can't be questioned. All of those things come into play, even though obviously you wouldn't put him ahead of George Kittle. Having said all of that, he also comes out of the backfield for you. And what I would say to you is, Michael Irvin, I would go to your Dallas Cowboys to accentuate my point. No. To accentuate my point even more.
Ooh.
If you remember, DeMarco Murray used to play for the Dallas Cowboys.
Thank you.
I am, if I remember correctly, I think I threw out the number 322. I think I was wrong about that. I think 1 year, his last year in Dallas, he rushed the football 392 times. They worked him to death and then said, you know what? Go elsewhere to get your money. We ain't going to give you that. And then he ended up going to the Philadelphia Eagles and ultimately the Titans before his career faded. What I'm saying to you is this, and I mean no disrespect. I'm not talking about Jerry or the Cowboys in a negative fashion. You utilize the talent that's available to you. Well, guess what? With Deebo Samuel, he's too multifaceted not to utilize him, especially when Jimmy Garoppolo, porn star Jimmy, is your quarterback. You know that you're going to have to rely on a running game. You're going to rely on short yardage passing situations or what have you. You're not throwing the ball down the damn field, which makes Deebo Samuel that much more significantly valuable. You are going to utilize him to the umph degree. So if he knows that, why should he not prioritize getting his money now? And if it's not going to happen in San Francisco, he is perfectly right to ask out, because that means I'm going to either get paid or I'm going to go somewhere where they'll utilize me less. The chances of me getting injured significantly diminishes. And as a result, I'll be in a position maybe a year or two down the road to get the money I richly deserve. I completely support Deebo Samuels and what he is thinking. I stand right by him. He is right. He is not wrong. It's just that San Francisco isn't wrong either for what they're planning for their future, because they have a team to take into consideration. But this brother is special, and now is the time for him to get his money before somebody runs him into the ground.
And this, for me, is real dicey here, because like a surgeon, I got to cut around some delicate things, because I talked to Deebo quite a bit. I mean, I love the kid. I mean, he's like a nephew. You know what I mean? Really like a nephew. And I've talked to him quite a bit the last few days or last few weeks while this situation has been going on. And I ran into him at the Super Bowl, and we were talking at the Super Bowl. And I said to him then, hey, man, I knew you got to get your money, but I really want to see you stay with Kyle Shanahan and stay with San Francisco. You know, I love John Lynch also. I see him at the Hall of Fame sometimes. I think Kyle Shanahan is going to be a Hall of Fame coach.
Yes.
I want Debo to get one of those gold jackets one day. And the right system will put him in there to get him that gold jacket one day. So I said to him, he didn't react like, yeah, he was with me. So I left it at that, and I said, I'll dig deeper after the Super Bowl. And he and I have had some conversations. I can tell you now without violating anything, because I said, I asked him. He said, don't say anything, and I will not violate his trust in me.
You should, absolutely.
But I can tell you this. Man, when you're dealing with wide receivers like this, you're dealing with emotional guys.
Yeah.
Emotional guys. You can't use their emotion on one side and then not expect to have to deal with it on the other. When Debo and the 49ers came out of that locker room to play my Cowboys, you saw who was leading that pack. It was Debo Samuel. He was leading the pack, and those guys had that box, and I was like, oh, my God. That told me something right there. That guy right there, let me see you try to win without that guy right there. When they made that big turnover and he looked at Kyle Shanahan in that game, give me the ball. He handed the ball. Next play was a touchdown. That's the emotional leader of that football team right there. And something has happened in the relationship area that I hope they can mend.
Right.
I hope they get that back together and keep him there, because Debo Samuel is a bad man. And what I hate, this is what I hate most, how it's gotten out about his use. I think that's a mistake, because that's your value. Don't let them hear anything about you not wanting that you don't like to use. Give me my money, then I'll come talk to you about how we can be used after I get my money.
Well,
because nobody can play both ways like Debo Samuel. But I understand he doesn't want to be playing running back all the time and taking all those hits if you're not going to compensate.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, he was right not to listen to you. You're a Cowboy.
What does that mean?
He was right not to listen to you.
I want this man to have prosperity and greatness.
You also picked the Cowboys to beat him and knock him out of the playoffs.
Yep.
Okay, which would have hurt his value. Had he lost that game.
We transitioned from the Cowboys. Did you not hear that?
I'm getting to other points, but I just wanted to make sure that you understand he shouldn't have listened to you. I mean, you wanted him to lose to the Cowboys, okay? All right, that's
the point. But the 49ers saw the way those last two games against the Rams when they were trailing and they made the greatest comeback in Kyle Shanahan history. It was all Debo. Debo. You cannot try to go into a season without Debo Samuel, especially when you got a quarterback that you ain't even crazy about.
Okay, let me say this to you also, in all seriousness. I'm looking at I got it right. 2014, DeMarco Murray, 392 rushes.
Right.
All right, for 1,845
And that's why I wanted to bring some up, because you made a great point in it.
And the season was his career basically went downhill from that point forward. You talk about his value is his usage. I say no, and here's why. His value is his usage in terms of holding on.
In this situation right here, you're getting your money.
Let me explain. In terms of holding on to what he already did, not having to do it again before he gets his money. See, the point is you hold on to it now because he's healthy. Young. He can still do this.
Right.
What you don't want is to wait, put yourself through another situation like that for another season, and then it gives them an additional year to hold off, claim that attrition has kicked in, and compromise your bottom line. Debo Samuel is absolutely right to be going after his money right now. There isn't a player, a coach, or an organization who should frown upon his position when you consider the utilization that he's going to be exposed to in the years to come. No way.
I'm with you on that.
No way.
I am not on the other side of what you just said. I'm with you on that. I'm saying this. Right now, that number has jumped. $30 million. You want to say, this is why I'm valuable. This is why I say, pay me this number. No, you want to tell me I'm not Devontae Adams? Okay. You want to tell me I'm not Tyreek Hill? Okay. But, boy, I can do the mixture of those better than anybody in the National Football League.
Put him in a ballpark now.
Right.
But
right,
what I'm saying is he can't wait another year for anything.
But he's already said he's not showing up to camp. So we're already there. So what I'm saying is, I'm not talking about the usage, because I want all things on my side until you give me my money. Our Antonio ain't coming. I don't want people out here saying,
that's
well, he don't
want to
play running back. Why he expecting all that money? He don't. I'm not going to talk about that until after I get my money. Then I'm going to sit, and you got to listen to me because our deal is in the front
he's
office.
He's willing to do anything. He's willing to do anything it takes to win.
And
just
that,
pay
say
him.
That again.
Just pay him.
Say that again.
He's willing to do anything it takes to win.
Because I said that to him.
Just
I said, I don't like that they're putting it out
it's
as if
true.
You're not willing to do what you want. Because that's the first thing he says to me.
You need protection. You're putting your body on the line.
Sanders came on this show.
He said, I'll do anything to help my team win.
Let's state this record. Let's state this for the record. Deebo Samuel will do anything
to help his team win.
Okay.
Right. Period.
That's the
pay him.
Right.
Pay him.
Yeah.
Want to get to one other topic quickly. Another player that could be out the door, that is Baker Mayfield. He's been replaced by Deshaun Watson after a lackluster season. But let's not forget, he was dealing with a shoulder injury. It's not the strongest quarterback class compared to recent years, and so far no takers for the Bake, though. Here's our quarterback, Dan Orlovsky, on Baker.
I think it gets resolved this week, and I think Baker Mayfield walks away as the steal of the NFL draft. If you're looking at him through the lens of 2020, and you sit there in this draft, and you want a quarterback, and you get to that third or fourth round, and the guy that you don't want is there, and you sit there and say, I'm going to trade a fourth-round pick for a guy that 4 years ago was the number one pick in the draft, for a guy that 2 years ago led his team to the playoffs and was top 10 in the QBR, I understand the finances are what they are. That's above my brain power. But Baker Mayfield has the opportunity to walk away as the steal of the NFL draft.
Baker Mayfield, potentially the steal of the NFL draft. Stephen A., do you still have confidence in Baker as a starting quarterback in this league?
As a starting quarterback, yes. As a winner, no. And as an aside, that really has nothing to do with football, but in a sense does. I'm not interested in Dan Orlovsky's hyperbole. You know what? Start putting your wife in first class.
Oh, here we go. You're never going to let him live it down.
The man puts his wife in coach, Michael. He puts his wife in coach. She should leave him for 2 weeks.
Okay, let's be clear. Let's not act like he's in first class and she's in coach in the back. That's not the case. They're both in coach.
But she should be in first class. You take care of your woman. Dan Orlovsky, I taught him better than this. But anyway, my point is, having said all that, I love Dan. But here's in all seriousness. I do think that he's engaging in a little bit of hyperbole, Irvin, because Baker Mayfield is not a scrub. Baker Mayfield can play.
Yeah.
But we keep putting so much on the fact that he was injured last year. Well, he had 3 years before that, and yes, he got him to a playoff series, and yes, they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. No doubt about it. But when we talked about the Cleveland Browns, and we saw Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry and Njoku and Nick Chubb Kareem Hunt. What we religiously stated is that the weak link to the Cleveland Browns offense was their quarterback. That's inescapable. Now, that doesn't mean he's a scrub. It doesn't mean he can't play. Doesn't mean he can't start. But what it does mean is that there was something about Baker Mayfield that was a notch below what the elite quarterbacks that existed throughout the NFL were. So sometimes it's not about whether you can play or not. It's you being compared to your contemporary. A lot of people debate. A lot of people got show.
Right.
A lot of people got a lot of stuff to say. But they ain't Stephen A., damn it.
History, and but the Cowboys ain't going in their history.
Time out. Because she's the matriarch of a show that's been number one in the mornings for 10 years and counting. Y'all ain't winning the last 27 years. You see the difference? I don't know what the hell you thinking about. But the point is, in the end, Baker Mayfield can play. But the truth of the matter is, it's something that I say religiously. The brother got more progressive commercials than wins. That's a fact. I know it's funny to people. It's a fact.
I think we just got to take these things in consideration here. Absolutely. I think Baker has such great talent around him. But I would like to have seen some continuity with him. You know, Baker's been in and out of offensive systems. He's a young man coming in, learning a hard game, and keeps getting thrown new systems every time he tries to get grasp of one. So let's give him another opportunity. I absolutely think Baker can lead the right team that has the right setup for him to succeed. Carolina
What's
Panthers.
What's the right team?
A Carolina
What's
Panthers
the right
football team.
How?
Let me tell you. A team that has a good running back. And
a coming,
great running back who can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Christian McCaffrey's the real deal.
So Baker can give him some short. He can make long. They just signed DJ Moore to his big deal. I just talked to him about it. And DJ Moore is a great young player. So he has players around him. And they're going to play good defense. He has to have that kind of team.
That makes
Carolina,
sense.
The Seahawks, teams that are going to run the ball first.
How does that make no
throw.
Sense? How does that
because
make no sense?
You're describing what he's had in Cleveland for at least the last
but
three
I just
years.
Told you he had a different offensive coordinator every year. Not just the last 3 years.
What the
More than that. He's
and
had
why
a,
is that?
So give him
why
something that he can work with and learn
with. What's wrong with
look,
you?
Look at what Aaron Rodgers went through when he got a new offense. Tom Brady, they had to learn new offenses. This dude had to do it every
Michael
year.
Michael Irvin,
give him a chance, man.
Michael
Come
Irvin,
on.
listen.
Give this man a chance.
Nobody is saying a brother deserves to be on the unemployment line. What we're saying is, time out. What we're saying is, he ain't that dude. The reality is, Mike, if you got that many different offensive coordinators, when is it about you? I mean, he got all of this talent around him. Why the hell you think they kept changing offensive coordinators? Because they drafted him number one overall, and you know this better than me. You got franchises that try to justify the pick, and that's what they did. They pacified him to try to justify for themselves and for the audience and their fan base why we took him number one. It ain't because he deserved it. What's wrong with you?
I'm going through, okay, but maybe Hugh Jackson has some good stuff. What other offensive coordinator in there? Fred Kitchens, who are you talking about
has
some great success that Baker Mayfield should take all the blame? What success those offensive coordinators had before they got to Baker that says all of this is on Baker? None of them.
Mike Irvin, can I
say none of them, though.
Let me shut this down. Let me drop the mic drop right here. Stay with me. I just need
maybe Hugh.
Come on. I just need yes or no answers. Is Baker Mayfield better than Deshaun Watson?
Help me out.
It's about your competition.
Right.
He ain't better than Patrick Mahomes. He ain't better than Justin Herbert.
No, he's not.
He ain't better than Deshaun Watson. He ain't better than Lamar Jackson.
He was
he's not better than
Sean
Joe Burrow.
Diggins
he's not better than Mac Jones.
Those are the best quarterbacks in the league. Baker Mayfield was one Rashard Higgins fumble away from beating Patrick Mahomes.
He was injured.
I didn't say he couldn't play. I said that he's worthy of being a starter in this league. But what I also said was when you were with the Cleveland Browns with all that talent, the question everyone had was about the quarterback. It's inescapable. It's undeniable. Why hasn't the man landed somewhere else yet?
I would love to see him end up with a Kyle Shanahan.
Well,
I know it ain't available
today.
To get
it. I noticed you didn't say you wanted it with the Cowboys.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at lq.com.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Mel Kiper Jr.'s final mock draft sees 7 wideouts going in the first round. Unbelievable. Chris Olave is 3rd on that list, projected to go 11th to the newly named Washington Commanders. Stephen, I hate the name. Olave, the all-time leader in receiving touchdowns in Buckeye history. Hugely impressive. Chris, with us now. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks y'all for having me.
Obviously, teams were very high on you. And then you went and showed out at the combine, running a 4.26. We talked about it. Rich wide receiver class. But what separates you, Chris?
I feel like besides all the production and everything I do on the field, I feel like I'm a leader on and off the field. And the way I approach the game, I feel like it's second and none. So I feel like that's what separates me from the class.
Chris, you know, on draft,
go ahead, man.
Chris, on draft day, our job's here. We're introducing you now to the NFL world. Everybody at Ohio State and college world knows you. Talk to me about where you grew up, the team you watched growing up, the receiver you watched growing up.
I grew up in San Diego, California. I grew up watching the Chargers. So I was a huge Chargers fan with LT and all them when all them was happening. So I grew up out there, and I was a huge fan of them.
You know, when you look at yourself, your game, obviously we've got people we talk about, you know, Treylon Burks, Jameson Williams, and others. Talk to me about how do you believe you should be viewed and why?
I feel like I'm a receiver of multiple traits. I'm a deep threat, but also I can run any route. And I feel like that's huge to have in the NFL, not to just be a one-level receiver. I feel like I'm a well-rounded prospect and all.
When you look at yourself and your career in the Big Ten, obviously, I mean, you being at Ohio State, they prepare you for this next level. We all get that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, NFL, they say is a man's game because of how big these boys are. And they playing for mortgages and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What have NFL players who've played at Ohio State, what have they told you about what to expect on the next level?
They say the same thing. I mean, when you go to a place like Ohio State, you play against the best and compete with the best every day. So when you get to the NFL, I mean, they already prepared you in college for all that, the weight room and football stuff. So they just take care of the little things, just keep working, and everything will pay off.
Yeah, staying on that subject.
Every week, you know, in Ohio State, sometimes y'all have them little, you know, powder puffs game. But it won't be no powder puffs. Every week, they're going to be bad boys in the NFL. Excuse me. What teams have you talked to the most?
I've talked to Washington, Philadelphia, L.A., those really, and then New Orleans, mostly.
Any preference there?
Nah, man, I ain't got no preference. I can't control that.
I know you should prefer a different name than the Commanders, but go ahead.
I don't think it's that bad.
Lord.
I was told you worked out in South Florida with Brandon Marshall, House of Athletes. How was that experience and any of the players you really bonded with?
Oh, yeah, it was good going out there for my pre-draft training. I was out there with Brandon Marshall and a lot of guys that I could go to ask questions and go to help with. So it was a lot of connections I made, a lot of relationships I built, and I definitely had a good time out there.
What is that like? Let me tell you, because when I think back, like, when I was coming out, you never got a chance to see other NFL guys. You know, there was no social media. Guys didn't communicate like that. Man, I remember as a kid and being in college, I got a chance to work out with Andre Reed. It was the greatest thing of my life. I was Jim Kelly and Andre Reed. I was there. But you get a chance to do it. You know, guys, you get a chance to do it all the time. You see guys all the time.
Yeah. Yes, it's definitely a huge blessing to be able to go work out there. That was one of the reasons why I picked there. I know NFL guys are going to be there, so it just takes some stuff from their game, trying to pick their brains a little bit.
You know, well, first of all, when Michael Irvin talks about, you know, college, you know, he went to college in South Beach. I just think that's important.
Miami
is just a different, I mean, it's pretty hard not to enjoy
20-something old Michael in Miami.
I just think these things are important to mention right here, okay? When you look at the NFL today, one of the things, let me say this, and this is to both of y'all. This is one of the things that annoys me about all wide receivers, because I love y'all, but this annoys me. Y'all act like, and when y'all do interviews, y'all act like the quarterback don't matter. Well, damn it, it does, because they're throwing y'all the football, and y'all trying to pretend, it don't matter where we go. I mean, is somebody, whether it's you, is somebody willing to admit does matter where you go because of the quarterback? Yeah. I mean, if you go into, let's say, for example, you were going to L.A., you would be have Matthew Stafford or Justin Herbert throwing you the football. If you go to Washington, it would be Carson Wentz. If you go to New Orleans, it would be Jameis Winston. Are we going to act like that makes no difference? Michael Irvin, that's for you more than him.
Not to a real dog. You see, a real dog comes in barking, I'll take my quarterback where we need to go. That's what this dog is. That's what he's barking. I'm going to take my quarterback in the team where he needs to go. That's what he said.
That's why I asked the question to both.
That's the kind of player he is. Hey, just Chris, get him now.
Let me ask you this. You're a big NBA fan, right?
Yeah.
The Nets getting swept. Who do you put that on the most?
I mean, it's on the whole team, I think. I don't think it's on one player. I feel like they could have played a better series altogether.
I want to ask one thing, too, because just watching you, there are certain things, and I'm going to go a little deep in the weeds here on playing receiver. What do you think is your biggest challenge coming into the NFL playing the position?
I feel like just getting a little bit stronger. I feel like that's where I struggled a little bit in college. Just my body frame, I feel like. I changed my diet a little bit, so I feel like I'm going to be straight.
What do you think that will affect you most? Are you coming off the ball or at the top of a route, just muscling at the top of the route?
Oh, yeah, in the NFL, everybody's going to be equally talented, and they're going to be a lot bigger. Corners usually like 200 pounds, so I just got to play a lot stronger through my releases and my routes. So.
Wait a minute, Damon.
I want to know. What's the change in the diet? I mean, brothers need help. What's the change in the diet? Give us some examples. What kind of food you eat? Right. I mean, what's up?
Man, I'm just eating more clean, not trying to take out the snacks and all the little stuff. Just eating a lot more vegetables, a lot more fruits.
Right. And it's giving you more energy.
Oh, yeah, a lot
stuff
more energy.
Stuff to build muscle.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, man. Let me give you a gift here, man, because I watch some plays and I'm seeing how you catch the ball in your body like that, and a lot of people always receive. It's a great gift to be able to do that. A lot of guys cannot do it. And you catch that ball like that when you know you have to protect that ball. Third down and 6, 7, 8 on slant routes. Yeah. You catch it here. Any hit, you may get knocked out, but at least you're going
to
get the first down. You see what I'm saying? At least you're going
to
get the first down. I saw that, and that's a talent that a lot of guys don't have. It means he's a natural receiver.
Last point to both of y'all. I think about Devontae Smith. He used to play at Alabama, obviously now with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think when I look at you, sometimes I think about him. Mm-hmm. Am I off kilter with that? To some degree, undersized, exceptional route runner, exceptional speed, exceptional hands, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. I mean, is that a wrong comparison in your eyes?
No, that's cool. That's a good comparison. I watch a lot of film on him and try to put some stuff in my game that I got from him. So that's definitely a good comparison.
Okay. Yeah. But I think he's probably a little bit little bigger, a little stronger.
Okay.
Just a little bit bigger and stronger. Mm-hmm. Trying to get strong.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody can't be you.
No. Did you see the dude ran a 4.2? Man,
I'm just talking about you living in
the gym.
Man,
has so many conversations.
That's what I'm talking about. That's all I mean.
This dude, he's looking ready, man. Right.
Chris,
ready.
Thank you so much for stopping by. Best of luck at the next level.
What is that like running a 4.26, man? What is that like running that fast, man?
Man, this is a blessing, man.
You better believe it's a blessing. God didn't give me no nit. None of it is a blessing. And you can't run at all.
Hell, you can say I can run. I just ain't trying to do that.
Not like
that. I'm going to try to get hit. That's all.
Chris Olave, appreciate you. Fresh off.